Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We thought this would just be a conversation about the university's process. As you know, President Chapathi suspended all Greek life activities on Friday after we received a police report of the suspected hazing, and also asked Scott to perform a review of all Greek activities on campus. So Scott's prepared to talk about that process and what the purpose of the review is. We can't get into details about the investigation. As you know, the Buffalo police are handling that. You can direct questions to them for updates on investigation. And then because of privacy laws with patient records, we don't have an update on our student either. So I know you've asked a lot of you expressed concerns and had questions about the condition. We're just not able to give that information right now. We don't have an update. So I thought we'd just quickly just go around and identify yourselves for Scott before we get into some Q&A and stuff, and if you don't mind.
Sure. Aaron Messinger, Buffalo News.
All right, we're going to start. Scott has a...
Sure. Well, first let me start by sharing that our hearts go out to Sebastian Serafin Bazan. He's a student at the University of Buffalo and a member of our community. We're deeply concerned about his health and well-being, but know he's getting the best possible care at Buffalo General Hospital. Our hearts also go out to his family during this time. We are providing all the comfort, care, and help that we can during this very, very difficult time. And I hope everybody will keep Sebastian in their hearts. At the direction of President Chapathi, I am convening a Greek Life Review Committee with the following charge: review current university-wide educational strategies, programs, and policies associated with UB's zero tolerance of hazing. Review current conduct, health, and safety programs, including anti-hazing and Good Samaritan policies for all UB recognized Greek lettered fraternal social organizations. Review the culture of Greek life at UB more generally and assess their status in relationship to university values, to review nationally lauded fraternal social organizations' best practices, and make recommendations on Greek-lettered fraternal social organizations, including programs and policies. We're fortunate that the committee will be chaired by Suzanne N. Rosenblith, who is professor and dean of the Graduate School of Education. The committee will be comprised of students, faculty, and staff. I've requested that the report and its recommendations be delivered to me before the start of the fall 2019 semester. And while that's going on, we'll be also reaching out and meeting with our Greek life organizations to counsel and review again with them our zero tolerance policy and the serious consequences of hazing. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Well, if you're expecting it to be delivered by the beginning of the fall 2019 semester, I would imagine then that Greek life activities are suspended until that report is done, or will it be the other?
That is correct.
It's not the first time that there have been issues with some of our organizations. Did you all just come up with this now that you feel that you need to have these policies or have all of these Greek organizations reviewed?
I think it's our responsibility to constantly evaluate our programs and policies. You're right, this is not the first time, but it's the first time I think one of our recognized fraternal organizations has been potentially involved in such a situation. I thought it was the right time to take a timeout. Obviously, the president had made that decision. And so I think it gives us a chance to sort of take a pause, a review, reaffirm our values, and decide. We offer extensive educational programs, which I'd be happy to review if you'd like. But I think it's the right time to do that.
I know oftentimes, you know, the Greek life, that people always think of college parties and stuff, but I know that a big part of Greek life is also about doing charitable things. With activities being suspended, if a Greek life organization were to plan something that's already on the books but suspended, do you feel like they're missing out on what their mission statement is and what's your response to kind of punishing those who have been behaving when one bad apple comes through?
Sure. I think in their best form, Greek life organizations do exactly what you've just suggested. They provide an environment, fellowship for fellow students. It's part of the campus culture. They also, as you suggested, do philanthropic work and make donations to very charitable and worthy causes. But they also historically have had a culture of behavior that is troubling, and I think we potentially have another episode of that here, and this is obviously a national problem, certainly not limited to the university. And so at this time, it was really important to take a time out. I think I would say this. I recognize that this action could affect some organizations that have not engaged in any way in this activity. But I would ask those people who are maybe frustrated by that decision to stop and ask if Sebastian had been their brother, their son, their nephew, or someone, their friend, someone they loved, what would they have the university do? I think it's a very appropriate reaction. I think it affirms our values. It gives us a chance to reevaluate what we're doing in a thoughtful way. And I feel very comfortable with the decision. Recognizing there were events, even over the weekend, some of which I've participated in the past, that I know have great value, that were impacted.
Yeah, what are the consequences for a frat or sorority if they are found to be having any activities between now and the time that report is delivered to you?
Sure. So those types of situations would come through our normal student conduct process. Those actions or actions would be referred to this Office of Student Conduct and Advocacy. They would be adjudicated through that process. What the consequences would be a function of what that event was. But I couldn't speculate on the actual event or consequence, but that's how they'd be handled.
As far as even before this potential hazing incident happened and during this period where Greek life is suspended, are there any mechanisms in place where the university, Greek life office, student life office go and check on these houses to have periodic checks to see what's going on?
So these houses are all off campus. We do not go, to the best of my knowledge. We often will walk with the Buffalo Police Department. We've had a very collaborative relationship, especially most of these houses are on the in University Heights, and so we walk those houses, but we don't have jurisdiction to walk in the houses. I think more importantly, though, we educate our students constantly about this behavior. So we start with orientation, where we provide presentations to both the student and their parents. We do it, affirm it again in our student conduct process when they come to the university and they have to, you know, positively affirm. I think we have three sections in the student conduct process where hazing is talked about and our zero tolerance of hazing. If you join a Greek life organization, we again talk about it. It's on the Greek life website at the campus. I think we have a very thorough and thoughtful, comprehensive educational approach to this issue. But I think we have to, again, continue to evaluate how we're doing that and is that message being received in a way we would hope it would be received.
As far as those that might be operating underground sororities, fraternities, how do you guys check up on that, and what is the process if that's figured out?
So the ones that we are aware of, we have a webpage where we list them, because some of these fraternities that are unrecognized come and go, if you will. So we have a page where we identify these. We also share that list with our students and parents at orientation and other events, and we state that even membership or joining or participating in those activities can or may be a violation of the code of conduct.
What was the rationale behind choosing Suzanne as the committee rather than the director of sororities and fraternities?
Suzanne brings a national perspective of, I think, educational and you know, personal development to the table. She's the dean of the Graduate School of Education that ultimately is often responsible for student life programs across the nation.
Yeah.
I think she's an outstanding choice.
Yeah, but I guess, like, why not the sorority and fraternity director?
Well, yeah. That person will be on the committee.
Okay.
How many people will be on that committee?
Hasn't been determined the final number, but I think somewhere on the sort of 10, 15 person range. So I think the first thing we'll be looking at, if you heard the charge, would be to review our own policies that we have, you know, public and published on many of our websites. Then we'll be collecting information from those fraternal organizations that we recognize on campus. I think it's very hard to collect them from some of the other ones, as we heard about a question. And then I think we're going to be probably doing a lot of interviews with our student body as well as other people around as a good starting point.
Has there ever been talk of moving these? I know you mentioned there's one house on campus, but moving these houses towards campus or having them meet on campus so there's a closer eye on exactly what they're doing?
So just I think correct one statement you've made. We do not have any houses on campus. I believe what you're referencing is that I believe one fraternity owns their own house off campus. We have done, you know, studies in the past on what I think you're thinking about is maybe like fraternity houses on campus. That is a model, but it has not been a particularly model that we've pursued on this campus. It is about 5% of our students participate at the undergraduate level, participate in Greek life. We've approached it from the perspective that we're not planning to develop housing for those units on campus.
Do you think 4 or 5 months is a long enough time to realistically come up with a comprehensive future for Greek life?
What I know is that committees in the university often take the time you give them. And I don't mean that in any flippant way, but I think this is so urgent to us that I think that's a reasonable time frame for a thoughtful and positive direction for us. Will their work be complete at that time? It may not be, but I think they still could present an interim report that might give us some good direction at that time. Obviously, we're trying to be sensitive to our student organizations at the same time, so the start of the fall semester seemed like a reasonable time.
And I know right when the semester starts, that's when, you know, the rushes start for a lot of these frats and sororities. What do you tell the incoming freshmen then, you know, regardless of what the policy is that's coming out about Greek life? Is it just kind of what you're already doing? These are the ones that are recognized. These are the ones that are unrecognized.
I think we're going to evaluate everything that we do with regard to Greek life organizations, including what we do at orientation, which is where a lot of this information is delivered. Clearly, there would be some uncertainty at this moment about that situation. I think there's also go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
I know you can't comment on the student's condition, but I know you all have been in contact with the family. What have they expressed to you, and what have you expressed to them?
We certainly, the president and I visited Sebastian and his family on Saturday. Obviously, they are devastated, as any parent and family member would be. We are equally devastated. We had a thoughtful conversation with them without really, you know, being able to offer them any advice, you know, under the most trying circumstances you can imagine. So we are obviously, we wanted to be there. We wanted to be supportive of the family, which we're doing in many different ways, and hoping the very best. And we wanted to share that and offer any comfort and any care and any assistance that we could offer to them at that time.
I know it's tough to say at this point, but you know, the investigation hasn't really started, but would you say, would it even be on the table that if findings are bad enough that you eliminate the degree system? Is that a step that would potentially be taken, or is that, would you say that's not?
One of the things I've always learned is you let committees do their work, and you accept their recommendations as those, and then you make decisions after that. So that's the work of the committee.
In our archives, the last time a wide range of suspension was in 2002, involving the death of a car crash in Grand Island that led to the death of a teenager. Did the university ever look back in terms of, you know, the history of?
I've actually asked our student life organization to do that. We're working on that process right now, and we'll report back on what we find.
Okay.
Thank you.
There are dozens of clubs that are available on UB's campus. Why should somebody choose Greek life when there are other options?
I think different. So there are, as you said, there are many different clubs, and different clubs appeal to different people. And so there are different attributes of every type of organization that you might want to be a member of that appeal to a certain person. And so I think Greek life and those organizations, fraternities and sororities, have clearly an appeal to many students across the nation, including our students here. Like I said earlier, in their best form, they can be terrific social bonding organizations for students to make friends that are lifelong. They do charitable work and support good causes. I can see how that would appeal to students.
Do you think there's a lot of kids, though, who go into it and say, hey, it's just a way for me to party with some people?
I don't think there's any denying that there is a social aspect to fraternity that's probably very appealing to college-age students.
But do you think that's like the main reason that they want to join?
I think there are students, I'm sure that is the main reason they join.
So how do you convince them that it does more than just that?
That's the organization's responsibility.
You say students will be part of this committee. Will that include students who are part of Greek life or students
yes.
who are not?
It will include both. To answer your question, it will include both.
As far as reaching out to the national organization of Sigma Phi and other Greek organizations on campus, will you be working with the national headquarters as well for this review or no?
I'm sure we are. I think the Sigma Phi has reached out to the Buffalo Police Department. As I understand it, they have not reached out to the university yet.
Has there been any action taken against members of that fraternity as of right now that you can comment on?
We have searched our records and can find no record of any past issue, but we're still working on that.
As a result of this incident?
It's too early in the process. We're allowing the Buffalo Police Department to do their investigation.
As like the director of student life or the vice president of student life, what was student life's reaction or student life's interaction with the Sigma Phi chapter at the university?
As the vice president for student life, I had no interaction with the fraternity. Obviously, the Greek life coordinator in the Office of Student Engagement has connections and works with all of our Greek life organizations. The specific interactions with this organization and that person are not known to me at this moment.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.